Hello, and welcome to Culture Shock. I'm Evan, and this is...
Brent.
Well, what are we talking about today, Brent?
We're talking about pachinko machines.
Pachinko machines?
These things, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You've seen these.
It's like a pinball machine had crossbred with a slot machine.
It is. That's exactly what it is, actually. So you fire your these little metal balls up into this mechanism here, and they hit all these wonderful little... nails and bounce all over the place, and you'll notice there are these little slots in there, and you're trying to get the balls into those slots. So those are kind of payouts.
Ooh,
the machine!
Yeah. I win. A bell goes off.
Exactly.
This is kind of a noisy machine here.
It is. It is. So you can imagine what it's like in what's called a pachinko parlor, where they have dozens or hundreds of these machines in rows running the length of a building.
Oh my goodness, that's tight spacing, just enough to sit by. You have a whole row of those. This is a rather old one. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is probably circa 1970. The newer ones have more bells and lights and whistles and just electronics.
Just like pinball machines, yep, they've got all electronics, lights flashing, and even video screens in there.
Ooh.
And this gets to kind of our anime connection, is that... one of the big things for a popular anime series is to release an anime-themed pachinko machine themed around that show.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can play a Persona 4 pachinko machine, Evangelion pachinko machine. You name it. If it's popular, it has a pachinko machine.
Do they put special payouts on these machines?
Oh, yes, they do. Huh? So not only will they have these video screens, as you play, you can hit special modes. And those modes can trigger special animations. And the special animations might be original to the machine.
Oh, wow. So you might see something nobody else ever gets a chance to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good motivation to keep playing.
It sure is.
I gotta hit that one again. Captain Katsuragi, I have not seen her like that.
And oddly enough, you have to pay for it.
Oh,
you know?
There's always that.
You
got to pay to play. So this machine uses little metal balls.
Yeah,
and there are none in there, but they're up here. So you put your balls in on the top, mm-hmm. and when you win, you get them back.
Yeah,
kind of like a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't win, you don't get them back.
Exactly. Yeah. So the balls come out, and you'll notice on there, there's a little engraving on there. S. All the balls are engraved because you can't remove a ball. And the reason for that is that after you've played for a while, you call an attendant over, and they'll take, and these actually now go down into bins, and you take they'll take those bins over to a counting machine, and they'll count the number of balls you won. And then that tells you how big your payout is.
So these are kind of like tokens or... poker chips that belong to just that company.
Exactly.
So they don't want those going out, but when you cash in, you return them.
Yeah, so
them.
They don't want you pocketing balls and then taking them somewhere else and then slipping them into a machine. And then there'll be a whole wall of prizes you can win.
Oh, wow.
And they all have prices based on the number of balls. So here's a 40-ball item, a 300-ball item, so forth and so on.
Oh, wow.
Anything from candy up to Chanel... to nice bags, purses.
Get my designer Fendi wear.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you could get the special prize.
The special prize?
Yeah.
What's the special prize?
Plastic box.
What's so special about a plastic box?
Well, you can take it across the street and hand it in to a little counter where they'll pay you out money.
They'll pay me money for a box that I want at... across the street?
Yeah, they will, which is very nice, because then it means you can play this and then make money off of it.
That sounds kind of like gambling.
It does, but fortunately, that counter across the street isn't actually part of the establishment that you're doing this at. So it's not actually technically part of the same company, even though it's usually owned by the same company that owns the pachinko parlor. But they're not exactly the same.
I mean, I had to cross the street. It must be a different
company,
even if the parent company is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that kind of sounds a little bit like gambling.
Sounds a little bit like gambling, exactly.
Yeah.
So this is the weird thing about pachinko over in Japan, is that there is this sort of gray area around pachinko machines where they are used for gambling. It happens all the time, but nobody cracks down on it because it is obeying the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it.
Oh, that's pretty sneaky. Mm-hmm. Because it's not officially gambling, can kids go in and...
Technically, no. The pachinko parlors are supposed to only allow folks 18 and up to play the machines. Anyone could technically walk in, but nobody really enforces that rule.
So it's an unspoken sort of, okay, you're 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pachinko parlors aren't raided that often by the police. They aren't really watching it that closely, unless something, you know, really unsavory is happening there.
Well, now this pachinko machine has an ashtray in it.
It sure does.
Which I would think would qualify as something 18 or over would require for smoking. But this is an old one when everybody used to smoke.
True.
Is it still that way with...
Oh, yes.
So maybe that's part of the 18 up...
Yeah.
Having that...
And, pachinko parlors are still one of the few places where smoking is allowed everywhere in the establishment. So it is kind of a refuge for smokers to some extent. That helps.
You can sit in front of your machine and just...
And many, many, many people do. Japanese people spend about $300 billion a year on gambling.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. The average Japanese person...
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B. The average Japanese person loses $400 a year on gambling.
My goodness, if that's the average person, you know that some people don't gamble. Mm-hmm. Other people are making up for that by losing a lot of money.
Absolutely. And that's the other interesting thing, is that the risk versus reward is much narrower in pachinko than with other games.
Hmm.
So you're only spending, one ball will cost about 4 cents.
So for a buck, I could get 25 balls.
Yep.
Wow, that means, it's not so expensive, but if you're going through balls that fast, and this is an older machine.
Oh, yeah.
Are the newer machines?
Yeah, the newer machines fire them out really rapidly, and in fact, you're controlling the angle at which the balls come out.
It fires at will, and you just steer it?
Yeah, you just steer it.
Oh, you could go through balls really quickly
that. You sure can, yeah. And that's part of the appeal of pachinko, is that there's this constant stimulation because you're only spending relatively small amounts at a time. And the biggest payout at a time will be about $50. You're not really going to have any huge swings, but there's constant stimulation of little dings and an extra ball here, an extra ball there, as opposed to a slot machine where you may get a payout every couple of minutes. Here, you're getting something changing every few seconds, potentially.
Well, having that rapid... of exchange, I would think the draw would be reward based. Oh, I won! Yeah. I won! It would really become very addictive to try and stay at the machine and play to get the payout.
Right,
and
it is.
And then you think, it's only a few bucks, not a problem. But how much do pachinko parlors make a lot of money?
I mean, well,
$300 billion of gambling. In a country that doesn't allow gambling is quite a bit of money, especially if it's only $50 payout here, $50 payout there.
Well, I read one article by a guy who went to one parlor called Yumitoya, and they cash $80,000 a day.
$80,000 a day?
That's $25 million a year, U.S.
That's a lot of balls.
That sure is.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
These machines can't be that expensive.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to go to a single parlor.
With that kind of money throughput, it kind of makes one think that would be a good way to take your money across the street and get it cleaned up, possibly laundered.
Yeah, possibly.
You buy your
Maybe.
Balls. Oh, I didn't play much. Here, I've got balls to turn in. Here's your prize. Go and get your money.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very, very gray area. And so there have been various attempts to kind of clean it up and to do things. It's never really gone very far, partly because, it doesn't have, it doesn't have those big payouts. You're not seeing people going bankrupt overnight, so it's not as dramatic as with other forms of gambling. But then there's also another aspect to it, that over 90% of pachinko parlors in Japan are owned by Koreans.
Koreans.
Yeah, ethnic Koreans.
So that's kind of odd. You'd think it would be more proportionate to the folks in Japan. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, over time, pachinko parlors became more disreputable. It just wasn't as, you know, respectable to own a pachinko parlor. And Koreans were coming in, you know, migrant workers and just Koreans in general. And, of course, it's hard to get a job when you first enter a country.
If you can't get the reputable job, you need a job that pays. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do this other job. Perfect opportunity. Yep. Jump in. Do the job.
Yeah. So they all started to really take over. And, again, it was, at the time, it was a very reasonable thing where, okay, great, you want to do it. But then that's added a whole racial element to the whole question.
Oh, wow.
Any attempt to legislate this is seen as an attempt to...
Oh, be anti-Korean.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's some trickiness to getting things to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is a really fun game to play,
mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen as much of it in pop culture as, for example, in anime,
mm-hmm.
as... some of the other aspects of Japanese culture.
Right.
But they have made references to things.
Well, that's the thing. You know, how often in anime have you heard about an uncle or somebody who had gambling debts?
Quite a bit. And mm-hmm. I always wonder, what is he playing? How's he get these debts?
It's probably not poker. It's probably this. You know, it's a great example of something where it's a little disreputable. It's something folks don't really want to talk about too much. But if everyone's losing $400 a year on this...
Somebody's making up for the people who aren't.
Yeah. So you see that a lot. But you also see things like... There are anime about pachinko. There's one called Pachislo Kizoku Gin, which is a 23-episode anime series made in 2001 about a guy who writes for a pachinko magazine.
A pachinko magazine? It's
got to find where
there's a magazine somewhere for every hobby. He writes for a pachinko magazine.
Yeah.
And a whole anime based on this.
Whole anime based on it. You can check it out. It's out there. It comes across occasionally. I know Witch Hunter Robin has some references to pachinko machines. There's some characters in pachinko parlors. And it's there in other places. But part of the reason there, too, is imagine trying to animate a scene in a pachinko parlor.
Oh, the pachinko parlors are so... There's so much going on, and all the action and motion of all the balls and all the bells and lights. And I mean, it's arcade on steroids, practically.
Yeah.
And trying to draw that out would take a lot of time and effort. Mm-hmm. And the payout of having just a short scene in that, it might be easier just to show the front of the parlor and maybe somebody passing one or two machines with blurred background.
Yeah, and the other side of the coin, too, is that so much anime is aimed at a younger audience.
Hmm.
If you're aiming your show at 14, 15-year-olds...
They're not supposed to be in an 18-year-old establishment. Somebody would get upset.
Mm-hmm.
They're marketing this to our kids. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if it's so easy for a teenager to get into one of these places, probably best to leave it vague.
But as a more mature person over 18... Mm-hmm. It is a very fun game.
It is.
And if I had, you know, $20 to blow, it might be fun to give it a try.
And that's a great point. Understand if you're in Japan, understand pachinko is not illegal. You can anyone can absolutely walk into one of those parlors, especially if you're over 18, and play. But I wouldn't play for the special prizes.
No. I set my money limit. And
yeah, exactly. Just play for fun.
The experience. Yeah, I played pachinko.
Exactly.
It'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for joining us for this episode of Culture Shock. Join us and check out our other videos on
geekarchaeologists.com. Google it.